It's Monday, August 17th, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today in the program, we're going to be taking a look at Psalm 2 with a message titled, Holy War, Holy Laughter.
We make the bold claim that Christianity brings the answer to this lost world. We teach that Jesus Christ is reigning over all, that He is the King Supreme, and that He is what history is all about. He's the center of history. He has won the victory, and that all the nations of the world, every single one of them, are subject to Him. That's our great proclamation as Christians.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
This morning we turn in our Bibles to Psalm 2. Psalm 2, if you're visiting with us this morning, we're working through the Psalms. And we come to Psalm 2 this morning, a wonderful psalm about Christ's kingdom. So we'll read the entirety of the psalm. I guess if I have the right Bible here, that's found on page 568 in your pew Bibles. I think I have the right one. Let's give our attention to the word of the Lord. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us." He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then He will speak to them in His wrath and terrify them in His fury, saying, "As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way. For His wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in Him." May the Lord bless the hearing of His word. Well, we are bombarded today with the news, a political scene that is bustling about and hustling about trying to solve all of the world's problems. But the reality is all of the uncertainty, all of the turmoil, all of the problems, all of the threats that are coming down our path today are worse than ever. No one seems to have any answers, do they? Everything that we do only seems to bring more confusion and seems to dig us deeper into the hole. And here we are as Christians in the middle of all this, trying to process all of this, and we're trying to offer a message of peace and a message of hope, and we make the bold claim that Christianity brings the answer to this lost world. We teach that Jesus Christ is reigning over all, that He is the King Supreme, and that He is what history is all about. He's the center of history. He has won the victory, and that all the nations of the world, every single one of them, are subject to Him. That's our great proclamation as Christians, that every single life in this world, everyone will bow the knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What's our problem? Everything that we confess, and that kind of confession in the Christian gospel, doesn't seem to be happening. Right? Doesn't seem to be happening. I mean, it almost feels like we're living the exact opposite of the very thing that we preach, right? I mean, I'm sure you've all felt this and you struggle with this. We feel weak. We feel powerless as Christians. Are we really making a difference in this world? And then we look at all the goofiness in the Christian world and everyone mocks at it. And because of this struggle, Christians haven't always known what to do when the kingdoms of this world become chaotic and turbulent or deadly. What are we to think when a wicked ruler comes into power? How do we to process this? We live in fear of this because we have children, and our children, we're looking at the future and we wonder, what are they going to have to endure? And look at the escalation of wickedness, and all we seem to see is idolatry, and it just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. How do we make sense of the Christian story of victory when all we seem to be experiencing is defeat? Is history really moving to an end that has to do with Jesus Christ? Who in the world scene is talking about Jesus? He's not even on the radar for people. Or is he? Lo and behold, voila, here's Psalm 2. Psalm 2 answers everything that I've just described this morning. Psalm 2 is explaining this to us. Psalm 2 is unpacking this for us. It's explaining that all of the turbulence that we are experiencing in this world, in the kingdoms of this world, has everything to do with Jesus. It's not what it seems. Here's the reality. Here's God's Word defining reality for us. Psalm 2 is giving us a picture of history from the viewpoint of heaven. And it's saying to us that Jesus is the center of history, that everything is about Him. Everything that we proclaim, everything that's happening is about Him. Everyone will bow to Him. So Psalm 2 is given to show us the true meaning of it all. The reality that we would not lose heart and that we would know that the Lord Jesus is reigning over all of this, what appears to be chaos. If you want a different way of looking at it, for the boys and girls, everyone's wondered about the book of Revelation. What is the central meaning to the book of Revelation? No one's understood, it seems, the book of Revelation. You know what the book of Revelation, how the book of Revelation could be understood? Let me give you a very clear thesis of the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, the thesis of the book of Revelation is Psalm 2. You know what it is, boys and girls? Really simple. Jesus is going to win. Jesus is going to win. That's the thesis to the whole book of Revelation. That's Psalm 2. Psalm 2 calls us to trust Him no matter what we see unravel in this world. Let's look at it. It's been correctly observed that Psalm 1 and 2 were so united, many thought it was one psalm at one time. But really, it should be viewed as, if you look at all the Psalms as we go through, each one is going to have what we call a superscription. That's a title. You'll notice in Psalm 1 and 2, there's no titles. And the reason you don't find titles to these Psalms is because they function as the title to the whole Psalter. This is the title to the whole book of the Psalms, all of them. And so it's telling us this is the context to the book of the Psalms. This is how we read all of the books of the Psalms. And so here we are in Psalm 2. Now, what an amazing psalm coming on the heels of Psalm 1. You remember the first psalm introduced to us last week, the ultimate man. It set up front the blessed man. And remember, it was describing a man. It said, here is a man like you've never known before. Here is the blessed man. There was no if there, then you'll be. It said, let me show you a man that is totally blessed. He doesn't sin. He doesn't begin in the mind. It doesn't go in the way. He doesn't end up standing in it. And he meditates on God's law day and night. This is the ultimate man, Psalm 1 presented to us. But there was a contrast. The guilty are not so. Now, the second psalm is unfolding that. The second psalm is unfolding what we learned in the first psalm. It's introducing us to this blessed man of Psalm 1 and showing where the two paths lead, where they're going. So you'll notice in verse 12 of Psalm 2 that those who don't identify with this man, those who reject this man who is presented to us in Psalm 2, will perish in the way. So there were the two ways, and notice how it's connected. These two psalms belong together. Two ways are outlined, two different paths, two different kinds of men. So here we are now in Psalm 2, and notice what is happening. It's not too difficult to break down if you're taking notes. I know my outline looks overwhelming. It's really simple. There's four speakers to this psalm. When they used to sing it, you could have called it a quartet. There were four singers to this psalm. And you'll notice in verses 1 through 3, the first singer is man taunting and rebelling against God, speaking out, lashing out against God. And in the next verses, you'll notice there, God's laughing response to this and His action to this. And then the next speaker comes out, and that next speaker is the Messiah. It is Christ. And Christ declares the decree of what has been decided for Him. And then you have this surprising speaker at the end of the psalm, who's a bit mysterious to us, who gives a surprising plea at the end. Let's look at the first singer. Verse 1. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against His anointed. Now, the psalmist is in shock. He's looking at something he cannot believe is happening in the earth. He is in utter dismay that these little puny human beings on the earth, these little clay pots on the earth, these ones who were created by God, who live and move and have their being in Him, who have no right to exist, they're doing the unimaginable. The word here is really strong in the Hebrew. The first word is rage. It's a noisy tumult. It gives the sense of a restless assembly. It's a total restless assembly, a restless people who are getting together and they're plotting together, they're muttering together, and then we come to the really tragic word of the psalm, is that they are all plotting together against the Lord and His anointed. What are they saying? Let us burst. Let us shatter, let us destroy, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. Their view of God is that He has shackled them like a king who places great shackles over the captives. Their view is that God is a tyrant over them. Now, this was never really the case, was it? I can't help but thinking of what the Lord said to Ephraim, I drew them with gentle cord. With bands of love, I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them. Who can forget our Lord Jesus when He called sinners to Himself? He would call and He'd say, come to Me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. But what do we have here? Let us shatter this. Now, a lot of people have tried to find a context to this psalm, and they say, well, in David's day, there must have been some kind of revolt. I think it ultimately is profitless to try to figure out what the context is in David's day. The psalm is not doing that, ultimately. The psalm is showing us something, yes, specific, but something that also applies to everything that's ever happened in history. Everything. You ever thought about what we're seeing happening in our country? You ever thought about it? That all this is going somewhere? We all stand back. Well, where's this all going? Where's it going to go? What we are shocked at about as Christians is the sheer escalation of wickedness, isn't it? How violent things are getting. The Scriptures talked about this in the Old Testament. They talked about that societies are going in what they call a cycle of iniquity. Remember, the Lord said that about the Amorites. When the cycle of iniquity was complete, He would judge them. This is a society. Societies come and gone. There's no society that has not been pummeled at some point. And every single nation of the world has come down at some point. We're not anything new, beloved. And what's happening is that there is a growth of rebellion. There is a growth of rebellion to the point where the Lord has to intervene and judge that society, judge that nation, because The elect are about to be crushed in the wickedness. Prove this throughout history. And what we're looking at in this second psalm is not the Lord criticizing secular government. You know, in Romans 13 will tell us that every single governing authority was put there by God. He ordained kings and kingdoms. What this psalm is presenting to us is what's happening behind the scenes. It's presenting to us the collective rebellion that is happening against the Lord in the raging kingdoms of this world. In other words, it's taking us behind the scene to see things from a heavenly perspective. We don't get to see that, but the psalm's giving it to us. And we're taken behind the scenes to see what's going on in the kingdoms. The Bible will use the language of the mystery of lawlessness or the spirit of the Antichrist that's already in the world. Jesus testified in his day, and what got him almost, they constantly wanted to stone him. One of the reasons was he was constantly testifying that the world's works, John 7, were what? Evil. And they hated him for it. He's talking about the world system, that the principle of darkness that is going on in this world that makes the whole world lie under the sway of the evil one. There are spiritual things behind this. There are spiritual things happening in the kings and kingdoms of this world. Demonic influences and even demons standing behind leaders. The whole picture here in Psalm 2 is a collective human nature revolt against God. And what are they doing? What are they doing? They are casting off all morality. They are casting off all restraint. They're changing laws. They're changing times. They're enforcing laws directly contrary to the law written on the conscience and the heart. And where does it go? The kingdoms of this world move in such a way that they become more debased and more debased. And what do you see when a society has run its cycle of iniquity? They end up trying to cut off the church. It's persecution. Look at the societies doing this today. What's our greatest fear today? We are seeing something happening with Islam like we've not known. And it's spiraling into jihad with everyone, isn't it? And what is their great denial about Jesus? I know today we're seeing what's happening and people interacting with it foolishly, but we've got to be willing to say what they believe. They deny that Jesus is the Son of God, and they give all glory to their prophet, Muhammad. See the zeal they have for that name? You ever wonder why? You ever thought about why? All of Europe, out of this, is completely dead to Christ. Then you travel to North America and look at our context. What is it? Everything is accepted under the sun in our context here, except the very exclusive claim that Jesus Christ is Lord over all, to whom everyone must bow and confess. You can believe about anything in our context today, except that. You could make Jesus a philanthropist. You could make him a moralist. You could do anything about Jesus except make the claim that you are a sinner and that you have to be saved by him. The antithesis is there, and it's strong. In any given society, there is a movement. There is a movement. And what this psalm is showing us is that in all the wickedness we're experiencing, in all the tumult of the world, in all the restlessness of the nations, have you ever stopped and thought why these nations are so restless? You look on the news and look at the restlessness of the nations right now. Look at the United Nations. Look at the restlessness of the Nation of Islam. The psalm just told you. It has everything to do with Jesus. Amazing statement, isn't it? To set this in stone a little bit more, Diocletian in the 3rd century struck up a medal. You know what that medal said? The name of Christianity is extinguished. Diocletian, Jovian, Maximum, Hercules, for having abolished everywhere the superstition of Christ, for having extended the worship of the gods. We got rid of him. We pummeled him. Now here's heaven. Heaven's viewpoint, they're casting off cords. And they are explicitly setting themselves against the Lord and against His anointed. Now here's what's amazing. The psalm doesn't turn to our response to this, does it? The psalm turns directly to the Lord's response to this. And I love studying that. God the Father now responds in the psalm. God the Father sees all of this. God the Father looks down upon all of this. And God the Father responds to all of this. And what do we read? The first thing that He says in verse 4. The first thing that happens in verse 4 to all this madness. He who is in the heavens shall laugh. Now, of all the things Scripture could have recorded, it could have said, He who sits in the heavens sends out fire out of his nostrils and blows them all up. He who is in the heaven rages in fury. He who is in the heaven summons up an army. These would all be good things, right things, in light of his holiness. But aren't you moved by this? He who is in the heaven shall laugh. Boys and girls, does God laugh? The Lord is helping us out by accommodating to our capacity, isn't He? And what is He saying to us? God's not moved by any of this stuff. In other words, God doesn't tremble. God doesn't get up off His throne and say, oh my, what am I going to do about all these powerful nations in the world who are collectively getting together against me? What am I going to do about that? He doesn't stand back and start calculating how He's going to deal with all this rage against Him. He sits on His throne and He laughs. Why does the Lord want us to consider that this morning? When I was a kid, I used to watch Evander Holyfield fights. Remember Holyfield? This would be like when I was in high school. No one could beat this guy. And I think to myself, you know what? I'm going to go challenge Evander Holyfield. I'm going to go down to Vegas. I'm going to crawl up on in the ring with Evander. And I'm going to take this guy down. I'm going to give him a run for his money. There'd be two sounds, wouldn't there? Him hitting me and me hitting the mat. What's Evander going to do? Laugh! And what is he laughing at? He's laughing at the sheer arrogance of Chris Gordon who thinks he can take him on. Who does this guy think he is? He can take him on. Do these nations of the world think they can overcome me? These little pots of clay that I made, do they really think they can pummel me? Now, I don't know about you, but this has got to be one of the most comforting things I've ever read as a Christian, isn't it? You should stop every time you turn on the news and you get in all this fear.
That's all the time we have for you today. We thank you for joining us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope you'll join us again next time for part two of this message from Pastor Chris. Thanks again. Until next time, God bless.